I'm going to be doing something a little more different with my homilies. You know, usually what I try to do is I try to take the readings that we've just heard and I try to preach on them. I try to explain them in our modern context. What does that mean for us today? And that is very important. However, at the end of the year, matter of fact, the end of November, the last weekend of November, we are going to be receiving and using a new translation of the Mass, of the words of the Mass. It's a process that's been going on for at least 10 years, where they took the original Latin of a new volume of the Roman Missal, the book for the Mass, and they retranslated it all from scratch. So it's all brand new. In preparation for this, to get us ready for this, you know, first of all, I'm going to be working with you to help you understand the new words that we're going to be using. But until that time comes, this is also a good time for us to stop and take a step back and think about what the Mass is truly about. You know, how many of us, we heard through religious ed so many years ago an explanation of what the Mass is all about, what the Eucharist is about, and we've forgotten that. It's easy to forget after many years. Or maybe you're like me and you really didn't take religious ed too seriously when you were a kid and you didn't learn it in the first place. But either way, now is a good time for us to take a step back and to look at the Mass. So tonight I'm going to start by examining what is the Mass. In later homilies, kind of about every other week or so, we'll get more in depth in what the Mass is and what we're doing and why. But first of all, what is the Mass? Well, the Second Vatican Council, which of course occurred back in the 60s, tells us that the Mass is the summit toward which the activity of the Church is directed. At the same time, it is the font from which all her power flows. This comes from the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, also known as Sacrosanctum Concilium. What this statement means is that the most important thing that we do is come to Mass. Because it is, first of all, the summit towards which our activity is directed. It's where everything we do as Christians leads towards, is the Mass. It's also the font where the power flows. It's also where we receive the graces that help us to live our lives as Christians. It truly is the most important thing we do in our lives as Christians. There is nothing in our lives that are more important than coming to Mass at least once a week. It's what it means to be a Christian, is to be here. No other worship is of equal value to the Mass. Even if we might feel God's presence in a certain form of prayer or a certain location, this is still a more powerful, more important form of prayer, is to come to Mass. So what is it? Well, first of all, the Mass is a sacrifice. You might remember hearing the word, or you might use the word, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Very much more common in the past than it is today. It's kind of, they've gotten away from that phrasing. But at the Mass, the one sacrifice of Christ is made present, and it includes the Church's offering. So when we come to Mass, we are united through time and space with the sacrifice of our Lord upon the cross. Now, it's kind of amazing if you think about it, because that happened 2,000 years ago. And that happened how many thousands of miles away over in Jerusalem? And yet, every time we come to Mass, we are sitting at the foot of the cross with Mary and the Apostle John and everybody else that was there. We are spiritually there through 2,000 years of history. But at the same time, we offer our own lives in union with Christ's offering of his life on the cross. One thing I was told many years ago, and I've tried to live this rule, is that at the moment when the bread and wine are brought forward and placed on the altar, and the priest says those words, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation," and holds up the bread and then holds up the wine and offers them, at that same time, we should be taking our lives in placing that on the altar, taking everything we have and we are, holding nothing back, placing that on the altar in offering along with the offering that is placed there of the bread and wine. Now, one thing that I want to point out is we say that we are united through space and time. We are united with the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And you'll oftentimes hear people talk about the representation of the sacrifice. Now, I purposely use that word represent instead of represent. Because I think in our world today, when we hear the word represent, we think of a stand-in. You know, if we were building a new building, you would get a model, and that model would represent that building. It wouldn't be the building. It would just be an image for us to see what the building is going to look like. When we talk about represent, we mean makes present again. Make it present here now again. That's what happens with the sacrifice. The Mass represents the sacrifice of the cross. Now, I want to make it clear, we do not sacrifice Jesus over and over and over again. There are some Protestant groups that like to accuse the Catholic Church saying, oh, you Catholics, you sacrifice Jesus at every Mass. No, we don't. No, we don't. We say that we're at the one sacrifice for all time. You know, and this sacrifice, the sacrificial aspect is important because the Mass is linked to the Jewish feast of Passover. Our Lord's Passion occurred during the time of the Passover celebration. But it's linked with that celebration. During the Passover, the Jews would offer an unblemished lamb, a lamb that was without spot, without injury, without broken bones, anything like that. It had to be a perfect lamb. And they would offer that as part of their sacrifice. Well, we join in offering of the one pure Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you talk about something being a memorial, you know, the Jews would say that the Passover meal was a memorial of the Passover from back in Egypt. You know, in the story of Exodus where the angel of death passed over the Jewish people. Well, they don't see it as merely remembrance, remembering that this happened, thinking about that this happened. But they see that in a way they are joined to that event. You know, they make present the Passover events in order to conform their lives to them. Well, we make present the sacrifice of our Lord in the Mass in order to join our lives with Him. That's why we come to Mass every week. That's why this is so important. But just like the Passover, there's a meal aspect to the Mass. We participate in our Lord's sacrifice by receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, by receiving His body and His blood, which is the same as the Jews, that when they would complete the Passover sacrifice, they would eat the lamb. You know, if you've ever seen the Ten Commandments, there's that wonderful scene where the young man is running through the streets, avoiding the angel of death, and he runs into the house just as they're preparing to eat the Passover meal. Well, they do that to this day. Jews participate in the Passover sacrifice by eating the lamb, by eating the sacrificial offering. Now, when we come to Mass, you know, it's not merely like a family meal, you know, a banquet or something like that, but it's a formal sharing in the heavenly banquet. It's a formal sharing here on earth on what we will have in heaven. So we have to prepare ourselves. Now, there's a lot of rules that I think people have kind of forgotten. So I want to kind of go over these. That when you prepare to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, now first of all, you must have 1 hour of fasting before you receive, not before Mass, before you receive. You know, so that, I mean, you could pretty much be eating almost right up to the steps of the church and you're fine at some Masses, admittedly. But 1 hour before receiving communion, you can't have anything like coffee or pop or gum or anything like that. Only water and medication don't break the fast. Secondly, you've got to be in the state of grace. You have to have confessed any mortal sins on your soul. That hasn't changed. If you have mortal sin on your soul, you have to go to confession to get rid of it. Otherwise, you have to abstain. You have to avoid receiving our Lord. You don't have to receive our Lord every time you come to Mass. It's a very good idea. I highly recommend it, but you don't have to. And finally, the third thing we should do is we should spend some time in prayer before Mass, quiet as we come into the church. Just spend a little bit of time, even just a couple of minutes. I know it's hard with parents to get kids here sometimes, but still, spend a couple of minutes in quiet prayer before we receive this great gift of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, at every Mass, we are called to participate. We are called to be involved. The words the Vatican Council used were fully, actively, and consciously. When we prepare ourselves, when we come ready, when we come to engage in this sacrifice, we are prepared. We are fully and actively and consciously participating. And may we join with this sacrificial meal with our whole being, with great love and great joy for our Lord. That is why we do all this. That's why we do this. We celebrate Mass every week, because we want to be with our Lord, and we want to receive Him, and we want to love Him.